is going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's Thursday, March 16th. Coming off a long night, a long week in the NBA, to be honest with you. Real up and down for me, and I know for a lot of people. Bouncing, man, bouncing. In the cash, out of the cash, and in the cash, on the cash, on the doorstep. You know, going to sleep, waking up with a couple extra bucks. It's just crazy. Late scratches, you know, rookies bouncing, you know, jumping out of nowhere. Hopefully you guys are ending up on the right side of these things. I saw some great results from some great friends on Twitter. Appreciate you guys retweeting, giving me your results. Of course, this is the Lineup Logic Podcast, NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast with lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come. And I am your gracious host, your happy host, Sean Kane here. You know, like I said, a lot of people, tweeting at me today, some good results, some not so good results. You know, a lot of people like me, I mean, left out in the cold in the last minute there, literally. I mean, we're talking five and 10 points out of the cash, just could not push through. But hey, friend of the podcast, Camiolo, Chris, hey, good job, Chris. Nathan pushed into the cash. Of course, our friend and compadre DFS Spectre coming through with some serious, serious dough in his cash line. Absolutely excellent work, Spectre. Always happy to see Spectre getting in the cash. And dude, he raked last night. Well done, sir. Well done. Roger Goodell, good job. Hey, Waiver Wizard. First of all, great freaking handle name. And great hashtag, Ed2Rhino. Just excellent work using the player pool really, really, really well. You know, hey, Jay Rossi, man, whew, he got a couple late scratches there that hurt him, but came back out even. And Don Juan DeMarco, nice work, brother, taking down the $30 in the in that GPP win. Basically, if you could get yourself over 300 last night, you were all. You were happy. You were happy. I mean, and no question. You know, weird night. Like I said, for me, tough night. Like I just the wrong pivots. I think honestly, if I play Mike Conley, I hit all my 50-50s and my double ups, and I come out with, you know, 60%. You know, rather than breaking even, and I just that didn't happen, and I'm a little bit tilted about it. You know, the lineup construction ideas that I had on the pod, the player pool was really, really solid. But hey, we got another slate to break down. We got five games tonight on Thursday. Of course, we got NCAA. So, hey, basketball junkies, it's lunch hour. You're going to start to fire up that TV. I know it's just, I'm going to put on CBS and just wait basically, from there. So, you know, we should be able to enjoy a lot of basketball. Before we do that, let's go ahead and break down the previous day's lineup. One of these nights. All right. So, like I said, I made a couple pivots, and you guys may have seen this tweet. I made a couple pivots that just kind of crushed me and unfortunately really, really, really hurt me. At the last second, the lineup ended up with, hold on one second here, pulling it up, had it up, lost it. Lineup ended up with Pat Bev, who, like, he turned it on in the second half, but really did not do much. A little bit of a bummer. Rubio, and that was the move that killed me, right? It was Conley in the player pool. Conley goes for 46 fantasy points. And Rubio goes for 38. Now, Rubio did really well, but I had the flexibility to go with Conley. And the reason I went to Rubio is because I was playing Cat, and I wanted to stack them together. Not nearly necessary, really, in cash. Like, the correlation isn't really necessary in cash games. If I think about it, I kind of forced that situation. Booker and Lamb, they both, you know, they were pretty highly owned, so they didn't kill you. But they really didn't do much. They did 4x each, which really is kind of a bummer, really, to be honest with you. Paul George, absolutely crushing it. Really, really, really nice. Strangely, with a couple of my pivots, I ended up on Chris Middleton, which I wasn't thrilled about, but I wanted some piece of that late game. Of course, I should have taken my own advice and gone down to DeAndre Jordan, who did really, really well. He was my grout center. I said, go with DeAndre Jordan. He's at home against, them. Or Greg Monroe. You know, I just didn't find them very sexy. But, of course, DeAndre had a really nice game, went for 40 fantasy points at home, 17 rebounds. Bielitsa leaves the game in the second half with an injury, had a really decent first half, did fine, had, you know, 8 fantasy points, and then left the game in the second half and didn't play. And, you know, I think the thing that where you differentiate with Bielitsa is that he seems like he's finishing these games because he's offense for them. He finishes those games. It's where he's getting those extra 10 minutes, right? He starts in that third quarter and then plays down the stretch to give the Wolves a little extra offense, and he didn't play in that whole second half. So a lot could be different if he doesn't get injured. Willie Cauley-Stein, one of my favorite core plays, absolutely crushed, 47 fantasy points. It was awesome. He was pretty highly owned, but I was just really pleased that that worked out and people were on him. He did great work. And then Kat, like, just kind of fell flat on his face. And this was my thing about Kat. This was the thing that made me so angry. I said on the pod, and I know you guys heard, I said the splits with Kat indicate that he is 6 points worse at home. Okay. Well, he's averaging about 48 points. Let's say he gets 42. Well, it went even worse than that, right? We knew he had 6 points, but he was almost 12 points off of his total here on the road. And there's just no reason to force that situation and chase those points. And so I'm pretty upset with myself for chasing like that and not being more disciplined. But what are you going to do, man? You know what? You make mistakes. You have to remind yourself, I think, you know, a lot of people are asking me, you have to remind yourself of what your process leads you to before you, like, hit save, right? And I think for me, the question is always, why does this lineup suck? Am I chasing points? Am I overpaying for an asset? Am I playing players in a pace down situation where they don't have a ceiling because they don't have extra possessions? Am I, you know, any one of those things can be a really, really detrimental piece to your fan. Am I asking too much of my value, guys? Bielitsa. Am I asking too much of Bielitsa to go out there and do work for me? Yeah, probably as a bench player. And I'm chasing those points. I mean, in a lot of these situations, it's chasey. And, you know, you get turned on by the possibility of one of these guys going off. But the reality is you got to trust the production that you understand and know to be true and more consistent from talent levels rather than just guys who are bench players, you know, and you're going and chasing points. And that frustrated me personally because it just was an unnecessary set of mistakes. You know, that's an unnecessary set of errors. If you know what you're doing, then those aren't mistakes that you should be making in your cash lineups. And I did. And that makes me upset. I know it makes a lot of other people upset. They're just scratching their head going, God damn, should have nine. This is an intelligent listener community of DFS players. Like, people know these kinds of things. I'm not teaching you guys anything necessarily new or things that people don't know or think about or talk about. You guys are smart. You know these things just as well as I do. Point is you can't fall into them. You got to check yourself and have that other voice in your head say, no. What are you doing? Why are you playing Bielitsa at 4-4 when you could very easily get someone like Trevor Ariza at 5K, who you know what the production is going to be? You know what the production outcome is, whether you're taking a massive risk or the bottom could fall out with Bielitsa. You know, I mean, it's just those kinds of little decisions that you have to make and check yourself and say, you know, to be smart in your cash game lineups. And, hey, listen, the player pool did really well. I think that I'm pleased with the player pool. You know, if I think about what happened in the player pool, I have to be pleased with the results. And I think that's a good sign for processness. You know, you trust process, not results. Because you can't control outcomes. You can only control what happens before. Kemba did not do work. Harden did exactly what we thought he was going to do, right at under 50. Giannis didn't really do much in that Clippers game. I didn't say we wanted to really be interested in either of those guys. Kawhi was in a great spot. I didn't think that the Blazers, honestly didn't think the Blazers were going to give them that much of a game. But that we said, if the Blazers give them a game, Kawhi's going to go for 50. That was very appealing. AD did fine, but we had to see how the usage broke out between him and Boogie. That's kind of why we faded AD. He only goes for 46. And Cat, we knew it was a chasey situation, but he was okay. But then you go into the mid-tier, and we're pretty pleased. Conley did well. Beverly, just about 5X. Booker, 4X, but Lou Williams did absolutely excellent. Paul George did excellent. Harrison Barnes went above 5X. Julius Randle and Willie Cauley-Stein both crushed. I don't know why I didn't find room for both of them as my grout power forwards. You know, and DeAndre Jordan as our grout center did really, really well. And, of course, you know, that – what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You got to trust your process. The player pool works if you make the right decisions. A lot of guys made the right decisions and cashed. That's why I encourage you guys to pivot and make your own decisions in these situations. Anyway, let's move on to tonight. We've got five games to worry about, so let's go ahead and jump into the spread. Okay, first game of the night, Utah at Cleveland. 206 total here. Cavs favored by 6 at home. Interesting, Kevin Love is practicing, but I don't think he's going to play until next week. So be ready for the return of K-Love. Be interesting to see what we have there. On the Jazz side of the ball, we may get Rodney Hood sitting, just so you guys are aware. Rodney Hood may sit, really good chance that he could sit because of the back-to-back. You know, he doesn't really play back-to-backs with that knee. And you know, that is, that's something to think about. So, you know, he left that Detroit game pretty early on with some knee soreness. I really don't think they're going to roll him out there, to be completely honest with you, which means that we're going to have a combination of Joe Ingles and Joe Johnson out there. So either one of those guys, very interesting, low-priced small forward options to fill in at the three. And you know what? They really kind of play the two and the four, where Hayward takes over the three. So Jingles is interesting to me in this situation at his price. Oklahoma City at Toronto, 206 total here. Toronto favored by 2 at home. Should be a competitive game. You know, Toronto will slow this game down quite a bit. You know, these two teams pretty much identical records. You know, and it should be interesting. Only news that we're really keeping an eye on is the Damari Carroll news in Toronto, which, you know, no Damari, you got Norman Powell, who's been kind of off and on, and I don't know how much Norman Powell I want, going up against Victor Oladipo, who just is, you know, a much bigger physical asset than Powell. So we'll see, but he's priced well. It's GPP only, I think. Brooklyn at New York, 222 total here. Knicks only favored by 4 at home. Man, you got a lot of injuries, got a lot of value here in this one. On the Brooklyn side, we're going to have no Sean Kilpatrick, no Joe Harris, which means Randy Foy is going to get the start, but probably going to see a lot more Caris LeVert on the wing. You know, LeVert and Hollis Jefferson getting more minutes in this one. Jeremy Lin getting more minutes in this one. I think they're trying to see what they have with that core right there in Brooklyn. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see 30 minutes from Caris LeVert tonight, who at 4-4 is in an interesting position against the Knicks. On the Knicks side of the ball, Porzingis is out against Brooklyn, which would have been nice to play Porzingis against Brooklyn. He's just been playing so well. But, you know, of course, then we get a massive usage bump for D. Rose and Carmelo, and we'll probably end up getting some Lance Thomas in the lineup and some Hernan Gomez as well. So we'll keep an eye on this game. It's definitely a target for value. It's a question, though, of making sure that you don't overexpose yourself to those players unless you're game stacking it, which is viable. You could game stack it for sure. Memphis at Atlanta, 203 total here. Atlanta favored by 4 at home. Memphis coming off the back-to-back last night in Chicago on the road going down to Atlanta. They played last week at Memphis, a tough game. You know, and no serious injury news to starters. We should have all the normal rotation pieces that we have in this game. You know, so some interesting price points for guys like Paul Millsap and Mike Conley. Definitely really like those prices on them. Moving on, two interesting late games here. Oh wait, so it's a 6 games late. I'm sorry, I kept saying 5. Clippers at Denver. Jeez Louise, this is an interesting one, right? Denver favored by 4, okay? But we've got massive rest situation for the Clips. DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin both ruled out. Doc said he's resting them. They are going on the back-to-back after a late game against Milwaukee, flying out to Denver to altitude. You know, this is a tough situation to predict. You know, you think, oh, we'll fire up your Chris Paul. Well, you know, I mean, how likely are we to see an absolute blowout here? The way that Denver's been just absolutely blowing people up of late, like they blew up the Lakers, they blew up the Celtics. You know, they can really take it to a team in the first half and put them away with the pace and the scoring that they can lay on. And if the Clippers can't get any scoring going, then you really got to think about whether or not you think this game's going to be a blowout. I'm interested to see whether or not Vegas makes this, if this line moves. You know, last night the line was at Clippers 1.5. God, I wish I had pounded that, huh? Could have made some real nice money on that, going to Denver. But anyway, you know, and then on the Denver side, no Gallinari, no Darrell Arthur, no Wilson Chandler, Kenneth Faried, a game time decision. He'll go through shoot around this morning and then we'll figure out whether or not he's going to play. You know, if we have none of those guys, then we absolutely have some value plays. You know, Will Barton is for sure in play tonight. One of the best values on the board, no question. So, you know, definitely a game to target for value, but I think just like kind of that Brooklyn New York game, you don't want to be overexposed to those games because you don't know who's going to produce. You know, I think you either game stack them and you put them in a GPP and you see what happens, or you take one or two pieces of each of them and then you kind of balance out around the rest of the slate where, you know, the other four games are much more predictable. We kind of know what Utah-Cleveland will look like, Oklahoma City-Toronto, Memphis-Atlanta, even Orlando-Golden State, the last game of the night. We can get a sense of those rotations. We know there's healthy pieces in place. I don't see, you know, Vegas doesn't see any of these games as blowouts. They have a history of being competitive, you know. So it's just, you know, I think the Brooklyn and New York games are absolutely GPP targets. I think that you have to be careful with your exposure to them because you could be absolutely right or you could be absolutely wrong. Orlando at Golden State, that's the last game of the night. 218 total here. Golden State favored by 13. You know, but Orlando playing well. They just had that really tight game down the wire. I guess with Sacramento, really wasn't much of a game. But Golden State struggling, you know. I mean, they let the 76ers linger there for a while. I don't know necessarily how to predict this game. I mean, in theory, you think Golden State's going to run away with it and hide because they're just such a better team than the Magic. But the way that they're playing lately, you really don't know if they will. And people go get up to go play an Oracle, and they really, really, really have a target on their back. Because everybody wants to play well against the Warriors. So healthy rotations on both sides for the most part. So we know exactly what we'll get. We're going to get 30 minutes out of these Orlando starters, and we're going to get 30 minutes out of our, you know, the big three in Golden State for sure. I don't necessarily, 13 seems reasonable, all said and done, but, you know, that the Warriors have been faded by quite a bit. Favored quite a bit in a lot of these games, and you know, wise betting men would on the recent trend maybe take Orlando to cover 13. That's a huge spread. So, you know, those are our six games. Some value out here. Some really nice studs out here. But let's go ahead and jump into the player breakdown and figure out who we love. Who do you love? Okay, so the lock and load segment here, we're going to sort through the top slate of the studs, you know, figure out where we want to roster, who we want to roster, how we want to spend our money in this situation. I think, you know, I can talk to you about Russ at 13-4 against Toronto, but I don't need to. He's going to score 60 points. Okay, that's it. He's going to score 60 points. That's probably a lock. Okay. He's a machine. He's an absolute machine. This is a great situation. It's always a great situation. Every time Russell Westbrook touches a basketball, it's a great fantasy situation. I don't need to talk to you about that. You don't need to learn anything. It's up to you whether or not you want to figure out how to roster him, given his cost, his massive cost. There's no reason to doubt him. we know what Steph is. Steph is basically 44 points. Okay. Yes, there's always upside with him. Yes, he could explode at any given moment. Yes, there's massive DVP upside against Orlando and Elfrid Payton at home. No question. But we just haven't seen any 50-point upside from Steph Curry lately. You know, it's either... it's one of those things where, honestly, guys, it's like you could stay on Steph and ride that wave. Part of me feels like I should ride the wave all the way through to see if he gets you to the promised land. You know, one of these days getting you there, or you could just, it can, you know, jump off and say, if I miss, I miss. You know, if I miss the 50-point game, I miss the 50-point game. That's fine. The really interesting guy that we have to talk about is Chris Paul. You know, I have to break down this situation because people are going to really want it. We really need to know whether or not Chris Paul needs to be a lock in our lineups at 9-8. So, I mean, the thing we have to consider is one, Clippers play full minutes in against Milwaukee last night, lose a heartbreaker on the last play of the game. You know, they needed that game. They couldn't get it. They've lost two straight to the Bucks. What a confidence boost for the Bucks, huh? Young Bucks team going on the road to LA, getting a win there. Really interesting. But anyway, Blake and DeAndre immediately ruled out for tomorrow. Doc ruled them out in the press conference last night. And there's not a huge sample size of data for us to look at with no Blake and DeAndre on the floor for Chris Paul. Okay, there really isn't. You know, they all kind of play that first unit. Now, well, there's a lot of data that's, you know, what does DeAndre do without Blake, or what does Blake do without DeAndre, or what does Chris Paul do without, what did Blake and DeAndre do without Chris Paul? We know what those things look like, right? Those situations have happened all year, but no Blake and DJ with just Chris Paul on the floor, not a lot of sample size. There's only 55 minutes on the year for us to study. So what we do know is this. He averages 1.46 fantasy points per minute, you know, and if he gets 32 minutes in this game, that's 47 points. The question is whether or not he's feeling he's got legs to go on a back-to-back to Denver in altitude. And the question is, you know, do the Nuggets blow them out? I mean, the Nuggets blew out Boston the other night. Remember that? I mean, it was crazy. Nuggets coming off a rest. You go to altitude in Denver. Teams struggle doing that. It's a real thing, you know. And if all of a sudden Denver gets up by 15 at halftime, you better believe Doc Rivers is going to say, Chris, sit. Don't care. Sit. He's an old man. He's not going to force it. The upside there is that you have... one of the best DVP situations on the slate. You have a plus four on their season average and points per game and a plus two pace differential. So, I mean, those are all really good indicators. In previous matchup here, 47 points against them already once this year. You know, we know he has massive upside. We know he has 50-point upside. The problem is, you know, price, too. I mean, 9-8 is exactly 47 points. So if you think he can get 47, then that's really, really reasonable. Question is whether or not this spread stays where it is. If Vegas moves this line, then I think we get off of Chris Paul and we get off of Jokic just to try and divest and get into more secure assets in like a LeBron or a Russ. You know, we know what those outcomes are going to look like. So, you know, no problem pivoting up to Russ. No problem pivoting up to Steph Curry, I guess. If you want Steph, if you want to be in a GPP situation, that's fine. And no problem pivoting down to the mid-tier. There's a lot of really good matchup situations on this slate. At shooting guard, you got Clay at the top of the slate at 7K. I mean, a 7K for a guy who's getting 34 minutes, 20-plus shots at home, facing the Magic. Yeah, I mean, I'd take that. That's like Bradley Beal. You know, I mean, we saw Bradley Beal 2 weeks ago go absolutely ham against the Magic on the road at basically the same price point. Now, Bradley Beal is producing at a higher rate than Clay, but... Clay has a really solid 30-point floor in this matchup. The question is really, can you fit him in? There's a lot of other 7K players on this slate. Mike Conley, Elfrid Payton, Gordon Hayward, Millsap, all those guys are in the 7Ks. The question is whether or not you're going to pay 7K for Clay, you know, and fade some of the value. You got some really interesting value at shooting guard today between the New York game and the Denver game. There's some really interesting value spots there. So, you know, it's a nice late hammer. always to pivot off the value guys. It's a great way to say, you know, if those value guys bust, then you are really giving yourself a differentiation. And Clay has a really good floor. I mean, that's a really safe option, to be completely honest with you. He shot 50% from the field this year. He's got one game against the Magic, but he only took 14 shots in that game. Okay. He shot 50% against the Magic this year earlier. They played once in January or December. He only took 14 shots in that game. Okay. And he scored 27 fantasy points, excuse me. You know, he takes seven more shots, what he's been taking lately, scores 50%. You add 8 points to that, more or less. Then he hits 5X on the nose. That's exactly 35 points. Boom, you take it, you go home. I think Clay is a really secure asset in this situation. You know, if you're thinking about cash games, then Clay Thompson is always a really, really safe play. At small forward, of course, it's LeBron. LeBron at 10-5. He's at home. He's in a competitive game. You always like that. You know, he's priced down because of the pace drop, and he's priced down because of the defensive matchup with Utah. I think, you know, there will be a chance that people go off of him because of the advantage. You know, people really like Carmelo tonight. And I like Carmelo tonight, you know, at 8-4. I'm going to talk about Carmelo. And I don't think you can go wrong with LeBron, though, to be completely honest with you. You know, 45-point floor really is the base, but he has 60-point upside. We know that. He played pretty poorly against Utah this year. But let's not look at that necessarily as an indicator, because he was on the road. He was on the road. And, you know, I think what we have to look at is recent trends and, you know, the home road splits here. He's averaged 49 points in home games of late, and he averages 49 points coming off a day of rest, and he's averaged 52 in the last five games. Yes, there's some much better matchups in there than Utah, but, you know, as far as pace goes, Detroit profiles very similarly. You know, you split the difference between what he did one night against Detroit. He did 45, and then one night he did 60. So, you know, the question is do you think that the Cavs do their defense thing that they did last time, or do they play no defense? You know, I'm not really sure. Utah coming off the road back-to-back. I don't think this game is going to be a blowout at all. I do think the Cavs can win it, but if this game stays close and LeBron plays down the stretch and the Cavs defense plays poorly, then boom, baby. We have an excellent situation on our hands. You know, he's actually, interestingly enough, one of the cheapest studs on the board. He's cheaper than Ross, obviously. He's cheaper than Jokic. So at 10-5, you kind of like the 60-point upside. You know, you feel safe with LeBron. You always feel safe with LeBron. 50 points, 52 points seems very reasonable. I think the interesting comp for me is James Harden. Harden just had that game against the Jazz, if you remember, at home. Pace down game for them, but you have that ball dominant 6'8 guy who kind of does it all, runs the point, everything. Harden had 48, okay? And they lost that game, but there was the total, it exceeded Vegas's total. You know, LeBron 48, that seems very reasonable. That's an interesting comp. And at 10-5, you're looking at almost 5X with, you know, four more points, and he's at 5X right there. So, you know, I don't have any problem with LeBron in this situation at 10-5. You know, I think the other thing we continue to keep in mind is poor, and I want to say this, poor defensive efficiency right now from the Cavaliers. Boston won last night. Washington loses. These things matter, you know. I mean, you have to make sure that LeBron's paying attention to this kind of stuff. No Kevin Love yet, so that's going to change everything. So if you want to get some LeBron exposure before K-Love gets back in the lineup, this might be a good night to do so, even though it is against the Jazz. At power forward, it's Nikola Jokic. Jokic at 10-6, I believe it is. 10-6. Yeah, 10-6, Nikola Jokic. The question is really, dude, who the fuck is going to guard Jokic? Give me a break. No DeAndre Jordan, no Blake Gordon. It's Most Bates, huh? Yeah, okay. Most Bates. Most Bates, which is basically like, it's the three-point shooting version of Zach Randolph. You know, and Zach Randolph actually tries and plays defense. Spates, who is going to guard this man? The Clippers are already bottom 10 in the league against the center. They struggled terribly against power forwards without Blake this year. And you add to that Gallo and Chandler out, the best scorers and rebounders on the first unit. You got Fareed with a game time decision. You know, if Fareed plays, then okay, I'm less interested in Jokic. But if Fareed doesn't play, God, it's so, so appealing. I mean, here's the deal. Here's the breakdown, okay? Jokic averages 1.6 fantasy points per minute with no Chandler and no Jokic. You give him 32 minutes of action against the Clippers, that's 51 fantasy points. Now, I know that that's not necessarily a lock. I realize that that's kind of faulty statistics and all that kind of thing, but it doesn't seem out of the question. The problem is that Jokic could easily blow, they could easily blow this team out, and Jokic could easily just kind of top out at 40, 45, like he did. You know, he's similar to Steph in that we know he has massive upside, but he doesn't always display that upside because he doesn't always have to. It's a little worrisome. It's a little worrisome. So, you know, I think the debate you have is Jokic versus LeBron. Basically the same price, right? And they're similar assets too. Like if you think about this, right? You've got Gordon Hayward at 7'8" right there, and you've got Paul Millsap at 7'6", and you got LeBron at 10'5", and you got Jokic at 10'6". You know, you kind of have to decide where you want to spend your money in that respect. And at point guard, you have guys in the 7Ks as well. Are you going to play one of these 7 or 8K guys, or are you going to play a Jokic or a LeBron? You know, I think there is merit tonight in going with a balanced lineup and loading up on these 7 and 8K guys and seeing how many of them can get to 40 for you. There's definitely that, you know, and you take two value plays or three value plays and, you know, go from there. It's interesting. I'm not really sure. If this line moves, I'm going to be off of this game. But I think if this line stays at 4, or we get more news that Fareed is out, I think you really have to start to consider Jokic. You also have to really consider Plumlee, and we'll talk a little bit more about Plumlee down there at 5'8". A very interesting pivot play, and he's been crushing lately. At center, Rudy Gobert and Marc Gasol are both priced the same. I think if I had to take one, I'm going to take Rudy Gobert. He's not on the back-to-back. Or he is on the back to back. They're both on the back to back, to be honest with you, both on the road. And Rudy's priced nicely here. We've seen athletic centers do really good work against the Cavs. You know, Drummond just went for 40 against them last week. Tristan Thompson isn't going to really challenge Rudy Gobert. Let's be honest. He's 20th in DVP to the center. You know, there's a lot of decent rebounders in Cleveland. They're not a terrible rebounding team, you know, but you get a pace up situation, extra attempts from, you know, extra attempts in this game. You know, hopefully Gobert can maximize his rebounding upside. The question is cost. You know, do you want to spend 7-7 on Rudy Gobert? Or do you want to go down to some of the value at center? I don't know. I think you may be better suited to spend some value, you know, get some value at center and try to spend up in other spots on your lineup. So, not a bad choice at all. I never get upset with Rudy Gobert. I love Rudy Gobert. You know, and I love Marc Gasol. They're very consistent cash game options. I both see them both at like a 35-point floor tonight. Question is do you know they get you over 40? And that's when you want them. But I don't know necessarily that either situation, especially Gasol's situation with Millsap and Howard in the front court, he just doesn't have a lot of rebounding upside. You know, Gobert definitely has more rebounding upside against Tristan Thompson than Gasol does. You know, but at the same time, previous matchup against the Cavs, what did Gobert do? 36. So, okay, not anything thrilling, but not bad. Not a bad outcome. Not at all. You know, that's why I'm saying like some of these mid-tier guys are really, really quite interesting. So let's move on to the mid-tier then. In fact, the fantasy grout, mid-price guys, 5 to 8K range. Gosh, there's so much here at point guard, guys. There's so much here. I got to talk about 4 different guys for you. And honestly, I'll talk about the upside and I'll talk about the downside of all of them. And I think you can safely assume the range of outcomes to be in the 30 to 40 range for all 4 of them. The question is kind of how do you target upside in this situation. So pretty loaded. First, Mike Conley at 7'7". He's going to Atlanta. He's facing Dennis Schroeder. Excellent DVP matchup here. It's a rematch of last week. Conley only had 31 in that game at home. But this is a plus matchup, right? He is actually better on the road. He's 4 points better on the road. But I think what we have to pay attention to is where does Conley's upside come in? He scores about the same pretty much every time. But Conley's upside comes in situations like last night when he stacks up rebounds and assists. He was a team leader in rebounds and assists last night for the for the Grizz in Chicago. What's difficult about the Atlanta situation is they don't allow a ton of rebounds to the guards. They allow a ton of scoring to guards, but they don't allow a ton of rebounds to the guards. It makes a lot of sense. They got a lot of big bodies down there. They got a lot of rebounders. You know, there's not a lot of access to rebounds when you have Dwight and Paul Millsap basically soaking up glass down there. So, you know, no question that I think Conley's rebounding upside is limited in this game. He only had one in last week's matchup against Atlanta. But I don't think his assists necessarily are limited in this game. You know, the difficulty is that they don't have a lot of scorers in Atlanta on the perimeter, and that's where you attack Atlanta. You attack them on the shooters, you attack them on the wings. There's not a lot of scorers there for them. So I think he's in a great spot to score a lot of points. I don't know how many peripherals he'll have, and that's when you really want a guy to get going in peripherals. You could go down to Elfrid Payton. I think he's been absolutely on fire. I mean, dude has had a couple triple-doubles of late, double-digit rebounds, double-digit ascents. Assists plus pace matchup, huge total on the night, you know, great minutes. We know he's going to get the minutes. There's really no one else there challenging him for point guard. So the concern with Elf is two things. One is consistency. Which Elf are you going to get? Are you going to get 60-point Elfrid Payton? Or are you going to get 25-point Elfrid Payton? And then DVP. Steph is a very good defender as far as, you know, allowing points to the point guard position and in the guards. Warriors allow some of the least scoring to the guards position, okay? Payton did score 42 against them earlier this year at home, you know, and the trend lately says, hey, this guy's hot. But we know that heat isn't necessarily an indicator of future performance. You know, that doesn't mean anything, really. I think what you have to figure out is whether or not he's going to actually get rebounds and assists in this situation. You know, and it's not the Sacramento Kings, guys. You know, so you could easily take, you know, go, I think he's GPP only. Well, not GPP only. If you have faith in Elfrid Payton and you like him and you have the money, you could go with him. He's going to be a little bit more low-owned. He's a late hammer. There's a lot of good reasons to go with Elf, but he's a little bit risky. There is risk associated with Elfrid Payton, of course. I think you could easily go down with Derrick Rose at 6'8". A lot less risky. You know, he's underwhelming, really, to be honest with you. He hasn't flashed a lot of upside, but he's at home against Brooklyn. No Porzingis in the lineup. At 6'8", you're asking him to get you 34 points. Okay, that's not crazy for a guy who's basically shown he has a 30-point floor. Great matchup. He's averaged 31 on this year without Porzingis in the lineup. That's not crazy. 34 to hit value, fine. You know, Derrick Rose feels like a good cash game play tonight. He just doesn't really have a lot of upside. You know, you compare him to a guy like, what's his name? Elf. Just talking about him. You compare him to Elf, and there's just not as much upside there. You know Elf could go for 40 or 50. He does it. He does it everywhere. He's done it in a couple different times in the last 2 weeks. Derrick Rose, the most he's done in the last couple weeks is really like 34. You know, not very sexy. So, you know, it's an excellent cash game play. Derrick Rose, very safe in this situation. His minutes are very secure. You know, and 34 is not out of the question. I mean, he's done, I mean, you know, since the All-Star break, here we are, ready? 20, 27, 30, 33, 33, 35, 25, 34, 114. That was against Detroit, and he only played 27 minutes. He left early. 30, and then 24. I mean, 30 is the floor here, guys, against Brooklyn. No question, Derrick Rose, a 30-point floor. You know, maybe he gets hot. I don't know, but he doesn't shoot the ball well. We know that for sure. So that's D Rose at 6'8". He's a little bit more safe than Elfrid Payton, but he has limited upside compared to Elfrid Payton. Depends on how your risk tolerance and your faith in Elf or faith in D Rose. But here's the last one. Easily go down to Jeremy Lin. Very similar profile in my mind to Derrick Rose. Minutes are consistently at 27, 28 in the last couple games. He's been producing over 25 fantasy points. Now, it was really nice when he was like 5'5". He's 5'9 tonight, but that's not crazy against New York. He had 25 points last time out against New York. New York, not quite as good a target at the point guard position as they once were earlier in the season. But, you know, Jeremy Lin is really not a bad target. Since he's returned from this injury and gotten over 24 minutes, he's had 22, 29, 30, 25, and 34. Same, you know, very similar range of outcomes to Derrick Rose, to be completely honest with you. you know, very similar range of outcomes, 25 points. You know, you feel very similar in the way that you're kind of basically saying just under 5X is probably exactly where they will land. So no problem with Jeremy Lin. So, you know, in cash games, Jeremy Lin and Derrick Rose are really good savings options. Of course, you know, there's one or two value plays that you can go with, and we'll talk about that. But those guys are really consistent starters, and we know what we're going to get out of them. That's the truth of that. At shooting guard, two really good options in the middle tier here. You know, Clay is actually a mid-tier play based on our pricing. By the way, I'm not really touching DeRozan. You're asking DeRozan to get 45 points, and he just hasn't done that recently. He's GPP only. Anyway, the two middle tier options for me are Gary Harris and Will Barton. And, you know, these are pretty straightforward. Gary Harris and Will Barton are pretty straightforward options. And here's the deal. Gary Harris is going to get 35 minutes. He's probably going to get you 35 fantasy points, and he only costs you 5.9. Cash game, safe. You know, you don't mind Gary Harris at all. Will Barton will also probably get the start tonight, though, at the three. And we know what Will Barton can do when he's given minutes. We've seen him. No Gallo, no Chandler. No one's going to challenge him for those minutes on the wing. You know, just Juancho Hernan Gomez, basically. So Gallo and Chandler Will Barton very much in play. He's got a 27% usage rate with those two off the floor, and he averages 0.97 fantasy points per minute. So let's say Will Barton gets 30 minutes. It's basically 30 points. And at 5'3", that's a really, really, really good outcome. I really like Will Barton in this situation. Pretty much every game where Barton has gotten 30 more or more minutes, he has a floor of about 20 points, but he's averaged close to 30, and he's flashed a 40-point ceiling. I really don't see any reason he doesn't score 30 tonight. Of course, I say that, and he could probably go out and bust. You know, but I think as far as, you know, point per dollar value, Gary Harris and Will Barton are two of your safest cash game plays on the slate, no question. At small forward, two options in the mid-tier here. Of course, one is Melo at 8-4. We got to talk about Melo. He's frustrating. He's scary. He's thrilling. He's Carmelo. You know, there's everything about him. He's just so inconsistent. I mean, you know, we're priced 8-4 for a guy. You know, he's got one of the best matchups on the night. You know, and he just went out against Brooklyn and he scored 38. Well, 38 isn't 5X value for a guy who's 8.4. 38 is 5X value for a guy who at that time was priced at 7.8. He's not priced at 7.8 anymore. He's priced at 8.4. I would roster the hell out of him if he was priced at 7.8, but he's not priced there. The minutes, however, are very secure. The production, however, is not. I mean, listen to the last five games, how inconsistent this has been. He sat out against Orlando for rest. Fine, game before that, Golden State, 35 minutes, 27 points. Milwaukee, 40 minutes, 25 points. Detroit, 36 minutes, 18 points. Brooklyn, 37 minutes, 38 points. Indiana, 41 minutes, 39 points. You're asking him to get over 40 points, and he's only done that twice since the All-Star break. Oh, I'm sorry. No, one of those games was before the All-Star break. He's only gone over 40 points once since the All-Star break. And you're asking him at 8-4, you're asking him to get you 42 points. Against Brooklyn, it's very, very feasible. He's so freaking inconsistent. I mean, compare him to like a guy like Gary Harris. It's just so inconsistent. He's very capable. I don't think you need to be scared of Melo necessarily, as scared as I am. I just don't know if I'm going to reach for him. I'd rather almost find a way to get up to LeBron, as crazy as that sounds. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Carmelo. I think it's your comfort level with Carmelo Anthony as a fantasy asset. He's not going to go for 50. That I'm pretty sure of. The way that Brooklyn has been playing lately, they're a little bit better. He's not going to go for 50, but he, you know, 40, 45, definitely within his range of outcomes, but so is 32. You know, I don't know. I think that the interesting pivot is easily Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward for $600 less just offers a lot more clear range of outcomes. 35 to 40 points, pretty much it. 34 to 40 points, pretty much guaranteed. You know, the exact opposite of Carmelo, you know what you're going to get. Hayward's basically shown a 30-point floor and a 40-point ceiling of late. He's got a pace-up situation. He's going into Cleveland. He's averaged 34 on the road, 35 in back-to-backs, and 35 in the last five. going to talk about consistency. That's not 5X either, but, you know, he just went for 42 last night. He went for 44 against Cleveland earlier this year. You know, I think there's something to be said for consistency. You're not going to necessarily plug Gordon Hayward in your lineup and go, oh, good God, are you going to get me 25 or 45? You're going to go, okay, Gordon Hayward, get me 34, maybe 40. You know, and that's there's something to be said for that security. It depends on what kind of player you are. You know, it's the difference between Derrick Rose and Elfrid Payton. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're going to go with if you're going to go with Elfrid Payton, then you should go with Carmelo. If you're going to go with Derrick Rose and Jeremy Lin, then maybe you should go with Gordon Hayward. You know, you just kind of predict your range of outcomes a little bit better. So it's, you know, Gary Harris, he's really consistent. What kind of player are you? You're going to see what kind of player people are tonight based on who they have in their rosters. But you know what? Listen, hey, if you're in a slump, go with what you know. Go with a single stud. Go with your favorite stud on the slate. Lock him in. Go with a safe value play. And then fill in guys where you know their roles and production are secure. And that's a really, really, really good way to build lineups. You know, and then hammer 50-50s. Try to get yourself back in the green. It's like making free throws. You just got to see the fucking ball go through the basket, man. You know, get that green going. Anyway. You know, that's Hayward. That's Melo. I'll let you decide. There's some value down there, too. But, of course, there's LeBron right above it. At power forward, there's two really solid options. I really like them both. And I really like it's Millsap and Draymond. Millsap at 7'6 is just criminally priced. This man gets 40 points in his sleep. Like, give me a break. He went for 41 just last week against Memphis. Yeah, he's struggled, but like Millsap's struggling is 35, 34 points. You know, Paul Millsap at 7'6 just feels like, good God, what are you doing? Just go for it. He's a very similar profile to Hayward. You know the range of outcomes, you know it's between 30 and 40. You know it's between 30 and 40, and you know that it's safe. You know there's not a huge ceiling. He doesn't have the Draymond ceiling, but he's a great cash game play, predictable range of outcomes. Draymond, though, in an amazing spot, again, very similar to that Philadelphia spot against the Magic. The Magic are just a poor rebounding team. And listen to this. They allow, on the slate, they allow the highest scoring rebounds and assists to the forward position. Oh, gosh. That really makes me want to roster Draymond. I mean, this could be really a great night for Green. He's averaged 34 in the last five games. We know that we've gotten big results, though. Teams against the power forwards against the Magic have had some really, really interesting games lately. Willie Cauley-Stein just had a nice game against them. Went 5X. Marv went for 45 against them. Hello. That was when the whole Marv thing started. It was against the Magic, if we remember. Okay. Magic are not exactly rock solid against the power forward. James Johnson in Miami, one of my favorite fantasy assets of all time. I don't know if he's friend of the podcast yet. We're going to have to see if he's friend of the podcast. But James Johnson, he just basically locks in 30 every single time he plays them because they just don't do a ton well defensively. So, you know, the thing that's interesting to me is whether or not the 20-point performance last night is an outlier or whether or not it's a trend that Kerr is trying to basically reestablish in the offense of Draymond, getting Draymond more offensive production. You know, I have to be honest with you. I did not watch that Golden State late game. You know, East Coast, I'm not going to stay up necessarily to watch Philadelphia and Golden State when I know my kids are going to be up at 5:30 in the freaking morning. Don't necessarily need to. Yeah, that's the best scoring he's done in a while. And the question in my mind is whether or not that they're going to try to say, hey, Draymond, you can score. Go score. Take more attempts. You know, strategically, it makes sense. They need to try to relieve some of the pressure from their perimeter shooters and get some more high percentage buckets, and Draymond can do that. You know, I think if they can get more offense from him, then this is a situation where you really can't start to fade him because he's going to start to push 45 in a lot of games. You know, you compare him though. Okay. Compare that cost at 8.3, compare him directly to Carmelo. Who do you prefer? Draymond, much more secure, you know, not necessarily a better matchup, but similar range of outcomes, you know, and Millsap, who do you want to spend your money on? You know, I mean, it's kind of like you put there's this massive pool of guys in the high sevens and low eights, right? Let's think about it. Mike Conley, Gordon Hayward, Paul Millsap, Draymond Green, Carmelo Anthony. All of those guys in good situations as far as DVP concern, pace or whatever, the roles, everything, you know? I mean, fuck it. Do you just try to find all four of them in your lineup? You know, all five of them? Just go Conley, value shooting guard, Hayward, Mello, Green, Millsap. Interesting lineup construction, man. That's the kind of lineup that if everybody goes for 40, then, oh, baby, you're feeling really good. Interesting way to do it. I don't know. I don't know necessarily that you want to. You wouldn't be able to fit in any studs, that's for sure. Well, not necessarily. You might be able to, but you'd have to spend down in a major way in a couple other spots. Okay, at center, Hernan Gomez. I mean, just Willie is just kind of a lock for me, to be completely honest with you. I don't think you really need to think that hard about this. Hernan Gomez is 6K. He's against Brooklyn. He's getting great minutes. You know, I think the question is whether or not, you know, Hernan Gomez is going to be very, very chalky. So for GPP purposes, I think what you easily do is you pivot up. You pivot up. People aren't going to spend up on center tonight. There's way too many places on this board to spend up. You pivot up. You pivot up to a Gobert, a Vucevic, somebody like that. Even Brooke Lopez. You know, Brooke Lopez had has a really solid matchup against New York and had 35 points on the nose. I mean, he's another one of those guys. You know exactly what you're going to get. Him and Clay, 7K guys, you know what you're going to get. You know, absolutely no question in my mind. You know exactly what you're going to get out of them. You know, I have no problem with Hernan Gomez at 6K. I have no problem with Brooke Lopez at 6K. Hernan Gomez just recently against, you know, you wish that he saw a better outcome against Brooklyn recently. But the truth of it is he didn't really play that much. He had 21 points against Brooklyn. He didn't play the five. Kristaps was playing the five. He only got 17 minutes. Okay, but last game against Indiana, similar DVP situation, double-digit rebounds, double-digit points. You know, I don't mind him at all in this spot against Brooklyn. You know, he got 25 minutes against them last time out, and he scored 43. So, well, let's lock in Hernan Gomez. Let's not think too hard. Let's not make our brains hurt about Willie here in this situation. He's a damn good play. One other, by the way, variance play, if we have Fareed out, Plumlee, baby. Plumlee. Mason. Plumlee. Geez Louise, look at the production of late. In that Lakers game, he had 35 points. Sacramento had 34 points, 36 against the Wiz. Coming off the bench, he's really getting really solid minutes and really solid production. In these games that are blowouts, he's playing extremely well. You know, I think if Fareed is out, you can absolutely go Plumlee. I don't think you do Plumlee if Fareed is in, because we just don't know how that's going to shake out. I just don't know how it's going to shake out, because it could go absolutely the same and really well, or it could not go really well. The other possibility is O'Quinn. If for some reason, we get word that O'Quinn is going to start and Hernan Gomez is on the second unit. Well, basically, you can expect like a John Henson, Greg Monroe situation, right? O'Quinn starts, gets his 20 minutes in early, and then they play Hernan Gomez down the stretch. But I like Hernan Gomez quite a bit here, double-double, very much in his future in this pace-up game. And dude runs the floor. He's young. He's got legs. All right, point guard. We already talked about Jeremy Lin. I think there's two other possible interesting plays at point guard, and they are in the value section. By the way, sorry, this is the bargain basement. We're going below 5K here. Two other value plays here, very interesting. Corey Joseph and Austin Rivers. Now, I really like Corey Joseph, and I really like Austin Rivers' GPP profile for me. He had 25 last time out against the Nugs, but that was without Chris Paul in the lineup. He's seen a decline in minutes, but you know, you better believe that if this game goes to garbage time, that Rivers is going to play a lot, and he does play the two quite a bit. You know, I think that there's a very reasonable, there's a very, very likely scenario that they move Mbamute down to the four. They play Rivers and Redick on the wing with Chris Paul, and then they play Mo Spates at the center. God, what a fucking disaster, huh? Jeez, would you like to be a Clippers fan tonight? No, thank you. Anyway, shooting guard, we got four really solid options in this bargain tier. Courtney Lee, 5K, very consistent of late. 20-point floor, more or less. Really solid matchup with Brooklyn. Extra usage without Porzingis on the floor. He feels like a good cash game play. But you could easily go down to J.J. Redick and Jamal Crawford at 4K. They are going to get extra usage without DeAndre and Blake on the floor. You know, in a good, really plus DVP situation in Brooklyn for both of them. You know, Jamal has been struggling to get some minutes, but he will be on the second unit as a primary scorer. You know, and without Mo Spates there, you really think maybe Jamal Crawford could go to work and do some good work on the second unit. You know, he's a bucket getter. And they say, go, hey, Jamal, just go, man, go to work. Take 15 shots. That's the good. That's when you want Jamal Crawford, right? When Doc just says, go get it, dude. Because man still's got it. He's old, but he's still got it. If he gets hot, forget it. And then the other one is Caris LeVert. You got no Jared, no, you've got no Joe Harris, you've got no Sean Kilpatrick. You know, of course, Randy Foy is going to probably get the start, but Randy Foy is terrible at offensive basketball. So you think about Caris LeVert here. LeVert is, where is his price? LaVertical. Oh, I'm looking at freaking point guards. What am I doing? There he is, LeVert. 4-4. 4-4. You know, nice play. Not a bad play at all. And, you know, I never trust the Brooklyn rotations, but I do think that LeVert is in line for a lot more minutes. You know, last time out against the Knicks, he had 27. Just last game when we had no Harris and no Sean Kilpatrick, he had 23 minutes. Scoring 16 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. You know, I think LeVert is absolutely in play in this situation at 4-4. You know, I think shooting guard is the place where you spend down in this slate. No question in my mind. At small forward, you have a couple interesting options as well. I mean, the value is just so appealing here in the mid-tier, really. This is a really interesting slate, man. A really interesting slate. You've got a couple choices, right? You start with Andre Iguodala, who's priced back down 4-7. Always, we know what his role is. We know what his minutes are. You know, it's one of those, like, it's the Trevor Ariza type play. You know, how much ceiling is there? Not much at all. There's not a lot of meat on that bone, to be honest with you. But he produces. He can produce. And he's a veteran, you know. But I don't think you have to go to Iguodala when you've got Hollis Jefferson getting really good minutes lately against the Knicks. He only 18 last game. That's fine. But then you can even go down to a Lance Thomas. If we get word that Lance Thomas is starting, I think you can fire up some Lance Thomas. You know, small forwards, threes and fours against the Nets are absolutely always in play. He just had 27 fantasy points against Brooklyn last time out. You know, and when Lance Thomas is kind of given the opportunity to do good work, he stuffs the stat sheet. You know, he gets 27 minutes. He could get you 10 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. You know, and I don't think it's out of the question that a guy at 4-3 could go for value. The problem that you have with Thomas, and the scary part is Thomas has a terrible floor. And if Rodney Hood is sitting, then I think we absolutely have Joe Ingles in play. And Ingles is one of the more consistent assets on the on the Jazz. We know what Joe Ingles' role is. He's going to get 25 minutes. He's going to be playing alongside Hayward. He's going to fire the three. You know, he's at 4K. You know, you see a very safe 12 to 15 point floor with him with 25 point upside. You know, Jingles is not a very scary play at 4K. I don't mind him at all. You know, the question is how much ceiling does he have? And the answer is not much. So, yeah, Hollis Jefferson, Lance Thomas, Jingles, all in play. I think kind of, you know, you have to try to sort through these guys and figure out which ones are your favorite. At power forward, there's two. One is Mo Spates. I mean, we have to presume that Mo Spates is going to get like 30 freaking minutes in this one because they have no bigs. He's the only big that's left for the for the Clips, man. And when they have, you know, no bigs on the floor, Mo Spates is going to have to play. And he's a good scorer, you know. At min price, you really aren't scared of Mo Spates hitting value with 25-30 minutes in this situation. Spates can score. So I'm not worried about Mo Spates. He's kind of a lock for me at 3,500 to hit value in this situation. Let's get Mo buckets. And then last but not least, at center, it's obviously Kyle O'Quinn. He's in play. If we get news that Kyle O'Quinn maybe gets some start or whatever the case may be, I think you can go to him. Other than that, I don't think you really touch Kyle O'Quinn. You need news about Kyle O'Quinn in order for that to be viable, to be completely honest with you. You know, don't go to O'Quinn. unless we know that Hornacek is going to go with him. Okay. Don't go to Oakland unless we know that for sure. Okay. Let's go into the lineup lock segment where we build out a quick lineup here to try and figure out how we're going to construct lineups today. So before we go to lineup lock, I want to do something for you guys and give you a reminder of what the player pool looks like at each position. I think sometimes we overlook what the plays are that we talked about because I think the lineup recency bias, you probably finished the pod, you're sitting there with FanDuel in front of you, you're looking at what I put in, and then you put in a very similar lineup. Well, let's go through the player pool just so you remember who's in play at each position. At point guard, we're talking about Chris Paul, we're talking about Conley, Derrick Rose, and Elfrid Payton in GPPs, and Jeremy Lin. The value point guards, we're talking about possibly Austin Rivers, okay? And Corey Joseph as well. All right, so you got six point guards in play right there. At shooting guard, you're talking about Clay. You're talking about Gary Harris, Will Barton. And then you're talking about four different value options in Courtney Lee, Caris LeVert, J.J. Redick, and Jamal Crawford. So some seven different options at shooting guard, six or seven options at each position, right? We figure you use one third of those players to figure out where you're at. At small forward, it's LeBron followed by Melo and Hayward. Then you have Hollis Jefferson, Lance Thomas, and Jingles in play. Okay. Another six options right there. At power forward, it's Jokic, then Millsap and Draymond. Really nice. Spates. You also have Aaron Gordon if you want to go there, if he just kind of ends up in your lineup. We know Aaron Gordon in a pace-up matchup is in a good situation. He just hasn't really shown a lot of ceiling, so I think you could think about Aaron Gordon as well if you need the savings. So those are your six power forwards. And then at center, it's a little bit more thin. We don't need as many choices. We've got Gobert. We've got Hernan Gomez and Plumlee, possibly, if we have no Fareed. And then possibly O'Quinn, if for whatever reason O'Quinn is named as a starter or whatever the case may be. But no news, no O'Quinn. Okay, no news, no O'Quinn. Don't do that. There's only like four real viable center options tonight that you want to consider. So that's your player pool. Okay, think about that for a second. Now, one of the things that I want to show you guys is an interesting balanced lineup that I just threw out here. Now, it's very easy to pivot away from this and make some changes and do some things differently. But here's a really interesting balanced lineup here that we could go with. Okay, at point guard, it's Mike Conley and Elfrid Payton. Shooting guard, it's Klay Thompson, J.J. Redick. Small forward, it's Gordon Hayward, Carmelo Anthony. Power forward, it's Draymond Green and Maurice Spates. And then at center, it's Hernan Gomez. Pretty fucking sexy. Got a bunch of guys with 40-point upside in there. I feel like I'm really cursing a lot. I kind of have a lot of caffeine in my body. Apologies. But that's pretty nice. That's pretty nice start. Now, there's some easy other options here. And if you want to get a stud in there, I totally understand. It absolutely is possible. So let's go ahead and say that you want to get LeBron in your lineup. Let's get LeBron in there at small forward. Okay, no problem. We can get LeBron in there at small forward. What we're going to do is we're going to get off of Clay and go down to Will Barton. And then we are going to maybe get ourselves some... What is it? Yeah, and then we can maybe just go... And we go off of Clay to Will Barton. All right, and we go Mike Conley, Derrick Rose, Will Barton, J.J. Redick, Gordon Hayward, LeBron James, Draymond Green, Maurice Spates, Hernan Gomez. Okay? Very, very viable, absolutely in play. Now, if you want to even go a little bit more stud heavy, you can absolutely go a little bit more stud heavy. I think the only pivot that you have to do there is you go J.J. and Jamal in the same lineup, and you take some of this point guard money, and you go up to Chris Paul, and then your second point guard is Jeremy Lin. Okay, so then you end up with Chris Paul, Jeremy Lin, Jamal Crawford, J.J. Redick, Gordon Hayward, LeBron James, Draymond Green, Mo Spates. Now, you can easily get off of Hayward and go down to a value small forward if you prefer one of those guys, you know, a Jingles or a Lance Thomas or any of those guys, and get maybe upgrade one of those shooting guards. You know, I'm not going to necessarily recommend a core here, but I am going to say some of my favorite plays on the board are the follows. I really love Hernan Gomez. I really love Spates. Okay. I really love JJ Redick. And that's probably it. And I'm going to lock in either Draymond or Millsap, one of those two. So Hernan Gomez, Spates, Draymond or Millsap. And I think JJ Redick is in line for some good production as well. But I could also see going over to Jamal Crawford. I have no problem. Will Barton really is also in play. It's very difficult to kind of determine a core because you have to commit yourself to value guys. And it's really, where do you want to spend up and where do you want to spend down? But there's a lot of viable lineups here, guys. I just gave you three solid options of some pivots there, you know, and of course it's very easy to get to. You know, it's not hard at all to get yourself onto Russ. Not at all. I mean, you could easily get onto Russ, and that just is basically, getting off of LeBron and getting onto Carmelo, for example, and going Russ and Austin Rivers, Jamal Crawford, JJ Redick, Gordon Hayward, Carmelo Anthony, Draymond Green, Mo Spates, Hernan Gomez. I mean, the freaking lineup construction ideas are out of this world. Like, you have so many different combinations. It's very much a night, if you're comfortable with rolling three lines, it's very much a night where you could do three lines, no question. Get your lines in that $1 SWAT, gang. Get your three lines in the $1 SWAT. All right, hey, guys. If you want to talk strategy, if you have questions, hit me up on Twitter. One thing Fern pointed out is, you know, you guys can DM me questions. Of course, I'll answer, you know, we'll try to answer your questions on via DM, but it's also really, really helpful to have these conversations about players publicly. So if you guys DM me, I mean, it's really nice. Everybody's paying attention. Everybody's participating. We get a ton of good questions, and like, people add their own input about certain players, and I love it when I'm not the only one talking on a thread about, oh yeah, no, I agree, I think he's a great player, I'm fading him because of this. I mean, just while I was starting the pod, I saw a great point from Nate. He was like, hey Sean, remember Clippers coming to altitude in Denver, back to back playing past midnight, no Jordan, no Griffin, there's concern there, blowout concern. He's 100% right. And these kinds of conversations, man, these are, if you're following me, these people pop up in your newsfeed, this information is important. So tweet us out, and ask the question live. Don't worry about it. Don't be self-conscious. The community is one of the best parts. We got some of the nicest guys and the best listeners in the world. There's no stupid questions. Just ask. And we'll all talk about it. We can all give input because I'm not the only fantasy person in the room here. So anyway, that is that, guys. Good luck tonight in your lineups. Hey, enjoy March Madness too, right? No shame in saying you maybe take a day or two off of DFS this weekend just to enjoy some college basketball and check your brackets out. Good luck in the tourney. Enjoy. And hey, St. Paddy's Day is coming up, baby. Let's go. Let's go drink green beer. All right, guys. I will talk to you. Good luck in your contest tonight, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.